of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we love the song. Lord, just calling out to you, Lord, asking for revelation, asking that you would feed us, Lord, by your word, that you would give us, Lord, of that hidden manna, Lord, that you save for the last days, Lord, the best of the wine, the best of the food, the best of all, Lord, the best of yourself, Lord, that you've given unto your bride, to your wife. And Lord, may you just take the furtherance of this service tonight, Lord, that you would give us words to speak. And Lord, that you would just give every heart, open every heart, Lord, to receive. Lord, those that are here, those that are not. Lord, may you bless each one now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, you can be seated. Good to see each one now. We're happy to be here. And I think Brother Michael told me that maybe Brother Richard and Sister Edith would be here on Sunday. And so I think that would be great. We really like to see them. And I'm greeting them tonight now because I've went a whole week and I haven't been over there. And I'm feeling bad about it. And so, but I'm coming. So God bless you, brother, sister. I will get by there and have some fellowship. So we just thank the Lord. Now, I wanted to... Oh, Sister Asenoth, she texted and said that they wouldn't make it tonight, but that they would be listening in. And so I appreciate her letting us know. And we greet them in the name of the Lord and just ask that the Lord will speak to their hearts now. And we're trusting that Sister Esther and them, they're listening in. And Shiko and the girls are listening in, and different ones. I'm not going to try to name them. We don't know who might be listening, but we greet you. Yeah. And so now I've spent the last couple hours trying to put something together, and I don't even know if I'll get to it. But I spent all day studying, and for something that I thought I was going to preach tonight, and then I just a couple hours ago I laid it aside and started in another direction. So. That's really painful. So, anyways, so we got a bunch of scripture here we're going to read, and so we are continuing here now on this. I'm going towards the anointed ones, but we're gonna hit this Armageddon on the way there, and so I'm going to read the first five seals. Tonight, and then maybe take a couple of thoughts from there, if time permits. But just as we went into, as we go into this, I wanted to freshen you on these scriptures here if you hadn't read them in a while. And so we're going to begin in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, and we'll go into Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, something somewhere in there. I think that's where we're in. So let us read. And I saw the when the Lamb had opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." Now, it was the lamb's the one who opens the seal, right? It says seals, so he's the one who opens all the seals. And now he's telling us, not only is there the noise of a thunder, but there is four beasts, and the four beasts will be speaking here, one by one. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when that's the first seal right there, a white horse rider. And he had a bow, a crown, and he went forth to do what? To conquer. And what is Armageddon? It's a battle. It's a battle. And what's it been all the way through the scripture? It's been a battle. What was it in the garden? It was a battle. There was Satan. It was a battle. What was it all the way through? Through the Old Testament, through every prophet, all those kings, all of those things. It was a battle. It was a battle after battle after battle. Amen. And so we're coming down to the final battle. Amen. And so when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And this, I was reading some of the history today, and this kind of went with, I was looking at the Brother Branham talked about the vision of the seven things that would happen before the end time. So I was kind of following up on some of those things. And this kind of ties into that. And so I got off just a little bit for a little while on Rome. And I thought, the only way that Rome could have made it to this day is to fulfill the prophecy of this day. Right. Yes, sir. Because there's no other way that mankind could have permitted the Catholic Church to continue on. They would have just, I mean, we fight other countries, and other countries are fighting one another for much less than what the Catholic Church has done through the ages. The estimates of the death toll from the Catholic Church is from 50 million to 150 million. That's the numbers. And it's not just one group or one person, but they used every opportunity. And sometimes they even were the ones who encouraged wars so they could use it to their benefit and to their favor. In the war of Germany, they killed I don't know how many million. In the Spanish Inquisition, they killed at least around 300,000. But it was one thing after another after another. It wasn't just one group. It was globally. It literally was globally. And the books, I started pulling up. I thought, man, I'm going to get a couple of books here. Because it was referring to some in what I was reading. And there's thousands. There's just thousands of books on Rome and what she did through. And it wasn't... It wasn't just Europe, but it was all through Europe, and it was globally, and it went into every country. And it's astounding to me that the church still stands, that she hasn't just been wiped out. And look at Israel, doesn't want to fight anybody, and everybody is after her. All of those countries over there are after Israel, and nobody's after Rome. Why aren't they trying to get rid of Rome? You know, and when they came, when America was being established, Rome wasn't welcome. That's what we left from. That's what we left. And so we know it's turned around. It's went right back to a dog to its vomit. That's what the prophet said. But when those people came, when the Catholics started coming over here, they were rejected. They were tarred and feathered. They were beat. They were put out. They were hated. They were not wanted here whatsoever. And they came anyways. And they just worked their way in a web like the roots of a tree. And so it just amazes me. It amazes me that they can be here. They're here for one purpose, and that's to fulfill prophecy and what the prophet said they are to do and how they're going to be destroyed, because they're going to be destroyed. And we're coming up on it. See? So there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And you've read your seal book, you know what these things are meaning. And so, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed after him. And power was given unto them, who death and hell, over the fourth part of the earth. The fourth part, that's a quarter, right? A fourth part, that's a quarter. See, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with beasts of the field. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And we know that the fig tree is Israel. And so, and some of the scriptures that I've thrown in here is also related to Israel. And so, and that we know that the fifth seal is the souls under the altar. And all of that ties in. So, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, see, hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? So that's where we're at. That's where we're at. And that's what it's judgment time. And we're going to see that in several scriptures that I have that I want to read from. But this is judgment. Armageddon is judgment. This when he takes the book, it's judgment. It's time. It's time. So, chapter 7 and verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. There were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And so we know that 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 these angels are told to hold back the winds, hold back the winds now until these are all sealed. And so we know that this is the sealing time that took place in this day when he came. He took the book and he called the bride, and so he sealed the bride and he sealed the 144,000, and so there's nothing left but judgment. And so I'm going to read just a little bit here in the fourth seal, and then I want to go back just to this thought here of him talking about the four corners of the earth and the four winds, because I just I didn't want to. You could take many services on it, but I just wanted to throw in a few quotes and scriptures that I had, and I'm not going to get them all in there, and I'm not trying to interpret anything. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just throwing out there some of the things Brother Branham said about it, and or that is related to it. And so, so paragraph 299. Watch. Gathers them now on his mixed colored horse. Huh? He's referring to the horse riders now. And now the pale horse, that's all of it mixed together, the white, the red, the black, all mixed together now. And what's he doing? He's gathering together. That's what's happening. And what was Christ doing? He was gathering together. What was the shout to do? Gather together. It was a gathering together. And so even the scripture tells us, I just came to me just now, I think it's in Thessalonians, talking about his coming and our gathering together unto him. So that's what had to take place. So he's gathering them together on his mixed colored horse because he's got political power. Now, if you don't believe he has, how did this president get in just now? How did that ever slip up? And I believe he's talking about Kennedy. I believe he's talking about Kennedy. And he said that, and that goes back to, and I don't want to get off on it, but that goes back to those seven things that the Lord showed him would take place. And so one of them was, he said the women elected him because he was a ladies' man, a playboy, whatever, and said that the women elected him and said, it was the wrong man for the job. And so hopefully we'll get to that before we leave the subject. So how did that ever slip up? Come over here for freedom of religion, and you bunch of Democrats that would sell your birthrights out to politics. See? What was Kennedy? He was a Catholic. He was a Catholic. And there was Catholics before him that were not elected president simply because they were Catholic, because they were hated that much. And so people in the 1800s, there were hundreds of books written. There was hundreds of preachers that was preaching against the Catholic Church. It was still fresh. It wasn't like it was hundreds of years old. This thing was still fresh. That they had killed at least, Brother Branham said, their own record said 68 million. Huh? 68 million Christians that the Catholic Church put to death. Now that's astounding. And so it's all out there. People have forgot it now. People, you look at the way the people look at the Catholic Church. They look at it with some kind of reverence and some kind of fear and some kind of holiness, that this is a most holy man. This is Satan.
That's right.
This is Satan. This is the presence of Satan.
Right.
That's what it is. And I got friends. I got friends that are Catholic. They're born and raised. They don't know no more about it than anything. They're just raised up believing that the Pope is God and that they're Catholic and they'll always be Catholic and it's the only true religion. That's all they know about it. They don't have no more of an experience with God than anything else. The best they can do is light a candle and burn a candle and think that's going to do something. Give the priest some money. Go confess their sin to the priest. And he's a worse sinner than they are.
Right.
He's more filthy than they are. See that mixed colored horse? Because he's got the political power. He got it all mixed now. He's got, when you get the political, that's the same thing that we were looking at with those kings. When you, that, what did Ahab and Jezebel do? What did Rehoboam did? Jeroboam. That's what Jeroboam did. Huh? And Rehoboam, he, because of his arrogance, he split the kingdom. It came from Saul to David to Solomon, and every one of them, 40 years, 40 years, 40 years. And then here comes Solomon's son. And what does he do? They came to him. Israel come to him. He was over Judah. Israel comes to him and says, we'll serve you. But lighten our load. Your father made us, basically we were slaves. We were indentured servants. We had to work and work and work. And he said, we want you to ease this burden. So he asked the elderly men. And the elderly men said, yes, be good to them and they'll serve you. All of your life, they'll serve you. And he talked to the young men who never done nothing. The young men who just had everything given to them. That's what's wrong today. They just have it given to them. And that's the biggest mistake that we can ever make for our children is give it to them. Just give, give, give. They don't have anything to do. I can remember preaching it 30 years ago. I can remember we had a church full, 20, 30 children. They were all growing up. They were just like the age you gave, Aspen. Just everybody had two or three, four or five. I mean, there were just children everywhere. And I can remember some parents complaining. They asked their children to take the trash out. Whine and complain and fuss. And let me ask you a question. And this is what I said. This is 30 years ago. I said, how long is that going to take? How long is it going to take? I bet you in less than 1 minute, I can take that bag out of there, walk outside, dump it in that can, and come in here and put another bag in it. Less than 1 minute. And they'll spend 5 minutes arguing about it, 10 minutes arguing about it. They'll have hurt feelings about it. Either you don't want, you just thought it's not even worth the argument, and so you don't make them do nothing, or you make them do it, and then there's this quiet, solemn thing between you for the next 3 hours. We got to get rid of that stuff. We got to get rid of that. That's right. We owe it to God to raise our children, to give them the training that they need. I tell you, and I've said this, brother, the greatest blessing, and I've discovered this in my old age, the greatest blessing is to grow up poor in a hard life. That's right. Poor and hard. And it'll do more for you and for your character and for your appreciation than anything I know of. Because everything I see today is taking them the other way. Right. It's just like you just pile it on and pile it on and pile it on. And is there anything else? Anything else? No, you can't please that. You can't please that spirit. Amen. We made our own toys. We played in the dirt. I don't know where this is coming from, but it's just there. We just got two children here, and I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to everybody. I'm preaching to the world. Amen. That's right. I got them too. I got grandchildren, and I'm watching them be spoiled. I'm watching the same thing I'm preaching. I'm watching it happen. So Rehoboam, he wouldn't take the advice of the elders. He took the advice of the young men who didn't have no character, didn't have no wisdom, didn't have no nothing. They've been set around and pampered and petted their whole life. So they said, no, you tell them you're going to double. You're going to make it harder than they've ever seen. 100 times harder, 1,000,000 times harder than what your father did. Tell them that. And what did they do? They left. And they went to Jeroboam. Now Jeroboam had them right in the palm of his hand. They left there, but Jeroboam, because he too didn't have no character, didn't have no depth, he didn't hold them to the word. His fear was that when it came time to worship, that they were going to go back to Rehoboam, to Judah. That's what he feared. So, but he had them because they didn't want that. See, but what was it? It was Satan.
Right.
It was Satan working through fear.
Yes, sir.
That they're going to lose something. So what did he do? He made him a golden calf. Made him 2 golden calves. He put one in Dan, on one, I think, in Bethel somewhere. So he puts them there so they don't need to go back now. So he turns them to idolatry. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse. And that's what's taking place. The same thing was happening back there. Once Christ came and the scripture was fulfilled, Jeremiah 31:31, that God was going to bring a new covenant. Huh? That's where the Jews, that's where they failed. That's where they failed in their day, like people fail today. People don't want to take the scripture today. Huh? The Jews failed the scripture. They had the scripture. You go all through there, and everything identified the Messiah. And identified that God was going to give them a new covenant. They didn't want it. They didn't recognize it. People don't want it today. They don't want the word to judge them. They don't want the word to possess them and to control them, to be Lord, to be their Lord. See, this mixed colored horse, political, spiritual, every way. Spiritual, political, I can't think of the other one. Come over here for freedom of religion, you bunch of Democrats that would sell out your birthrights out to politics. See, Democrat parties they're both rotten. I'm talking about Christianity, see? But you sell your birthrights on a Democratic ticket to put something like that in there. Shame on you. That's right. And the people that they have kept, I'll tell you what they're doing now. They're proving that they have kept certain demographics poor and destroy the family. When they destroy the family, then they don't have a father figure. So then they become dependent on the government. And the government gives them that stipend, gives them that support, and then they vote that way. That's not an accident. That didn't just get accidentally start happening. It actually was a plan. And they're proving it now. They're proving it now. Just like a lot of this other stuff. And just like I said, I didn't want to get off on these things about the visions, but all the science, all of those things, the hybrid foods, all of those things, all of that stuff was pre-planned. It was put into place. The pharmaceutical companies and all of this other stuff. And the stuff they're coming out with now, and I don't know how much is true and how much is not, but I'm going to tell you something. Besides the everyday food we're eating, I just read some articles just recently of the candy. There's some of that candy has more arsenic in it than a person should in one bag than a person should have in a year. In other words, there's just traces of arsenic that's not going to hurt you. Okay, there's things that you eat and drink that we eat and drink that has arsenic in it. Okay. Some of that candy has so much in it, among other things. And some of it that people think is the chocolate in it, it's not even chocolate. It's something that they have cooked up and processed. We're in a place where you need to leave, and I know you got to. You just pray over everything you eat. That's all I can say. Just pray over it. That's the only hope you have today. Is pray over everything that you eat, everything that you drink, even that bottle of water you buy. I'm telling you, you ought to read the ingredients in it. I don't trust them for nothing. I don't trust them. And what people have today, all of what the pharmaceutical companies have done to the people, deceive the people, and made the people on so much medication and all of that, brother, they plan that. Those people that run those companies, they ought to go to jail. They ought to be in jail right now. It is a deception. We come over here for freedom of religion. That's right. See? And so, 306. Let me get moved down here. We're not going doing too good here. To gather them on their mixed colored horses. See? He's gathering this thing together, mixed with creeds and denominations, man-made doctrines. See? Yes. See? Is that right? Sure. Mixed colored of the dead, pale horse of the world. Is that right? See, mixed colors of the dead, worldly form of the pale horse. That's right. See? And what is it? It's power. It's a beast. It's power. See? Oh my, no holy blood of the word at all. No. No, they got the blood of the saints. They got the blood of the martyrs. See? Not the holy blood, the blood of the word. See? And watch. From the four corners of the earth, they gather them. See? Gathers them to Armageddon. The Bible says, see? And he's trying to think of the scripture. We're going to read some of them. See? Gathers them together to the great day of the battle of the Lord God. Amen. 307. Now, on this mixed-colored, worldly, pale, sick horse, just think of it now, you know that's a bad thing. See? And watch where he gathers them from. See? The four corners of the earth. They are gathering now for the showdown. That's right. And so I looked this up and I hadn't did it in a long time. But Brother Branham said a fair bit about it. But also I was really looking for science because we used to have a thing in the church over there that talked about the four corners of the earth. And so Brother Branham talked about it in different ways. He talked about the foundation of four corners. He called Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then he called Isaac. He said that was the four corners, talking about the foundation. And so then he talked many scriptures about the head of the corner, the what was promised in this day and this time. See? So from the four corners of the earth. And another thing, I was looking up the word. I was looking up the word here, and the word, when you're talking about four corners, it talks about four quarters. That's why I said that a while ago about quarters. I just noticed it then. But if you take the earth, the science has proven, I think it's more on the theologian side, Bible scholars, looking to see if there was a way. But there is four points of the earth. And I couldn't find, didn't have time, like I said, I was just rushing up in the last minute. But there's four points of the earth. You know, the earth is round, but there's four points to it going through it. And then if you're quartering it, you take a round circle and you just put a cross through it. You got four quarters. Is that right? That's four quarters. So we'll look at it in a minute. So the showdown will be Armageddon, see, on the pale horse. Dropping down a little bit. See, the Antichrist, listen. First denomination, that can't be a spirit, see, with his Jezebel, a prostitute to the word, and her daughters, see, with her Protestants, gathering themselves together now in unity. And did you hear the Baptist people speaking the other day over here, you know? Oh, we won't join up with them. Listen to this. And speaking of the Baptists, the Baptists even put out a book on Rome, on where somewhere back there, I don't know how old the Baptists are, but they got some books on Rome too. So they were they knew what was going on. So Baptist people speaking the other day over here and said, we won't join up with them. We'll be friendly and just kind of click with them, see? We won't have to join their church, see? There's a lot of message people like that too. We'll be friends with everybody and it'll be okay. So that sounds good, but if you leave out the new birth, then it don't matter who you're friends with. There you are, see? Just exactly what the word said here. Old harlot in the first place, see? That's right. Now here, 3:10, now here they are joining themselves together, coming to that showdown to Armageddon, riding a mixed colored horse with one horse of white and one horse of red, one of black, and three different political power, spiritual power, there it is, controlled by demon power, which is the Antichrist. Amen. Mixing it all together, and that's exactly what it's been. That's what it's been for 2,000 years. Satan, Brother M said, Satan didn't know that Jesus was the Christ. Said he thought he was. Said he thought he was. Said if he would have known, said he wouldn't have let him get to Calvary. But once he got there, once the price was paid, once he's seen the results, and once he's seen this thing begin to go around the world. And that's what set Rome on fire, is because the message of the hour that Christ had, the Messiah had come, and that his blood was setting man free, and that the Holy Ghost was poured out on the people. This thing was growing so fast. And when it started off, it was mostly just Jews. This is the Bible, but it's also the message, and it's also history. It's also history. And so the thing was coming so fast that it was a threat. It was a threat to Rome. It was a threat to the Catholics. And they began immediately to fight this thing. And the more they fought it, the more it growed, the greater that it got. So as they was killing them, it was causing more people to believe it. So, and what was that? That was the power of God. Amen. And it was the power of Satan that was fighting against that thing. See? So the Antichrist mixing it together. See, backing up. Spiritual power controlled by demon power, which is the Antichrist. Mixing that all together. You got a pale, sickly looking thing he's riding on. That's right. Now notice now, look what he's riding on. This pale looking, grizzly colored horse, mixed with black and red and white, coming into the battle, gathering his subjects from every nation, see, under heaven. Did not Daniel interpret the dream and seeing that streak of iron running into every kingdom, see, of Rome? And here they come gathering, see, is that right? Now set still for the close, just a minute now, listen close. They're gathering in now to do it. Bringing his subjects from the four corners of the earth. Riding a pale, sickly, three-colored mixed horse. Same man. Huh? Same devil. That's right. Same power. See? And in Revelation 19, not only is he getting ready, but Christ is getting ready to meet him. And the battle is going to be hot and heavy. Christ in Revelation 19, Christ is gathering his, not from the four corners of the earth, because there's going to be a little bitty remnant. What's he doing? He's gathering from the four corners of heaven. That's right. And we'll get them souls under the altar tomorrow night. See, that's why I read the fifth too, because he's talking about all of it and it keeps touching it. See, four corners of heaven on a snow white horse. See, he also has a name, not death, but the word of God. That's right. Life. Amen. Got it wrote right on his thigh here, the word of God. Amen. Praise be to God. That's the only life. Because God is the only source of eternal life. There is, see? Zoe, is that right? That's right. Praise be to God. All right. Now, I'm going to throw in a few scriptures here, coming on the this little to touch on some of these things. We'll pick back up Sunday, somewhere there, on that. So, Revelations chapter 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. So here, he's calling it not the four corners, but he's calling it the four quarters. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And so, now I want to take the word, I just want to give you the lexicon, the Greek lexicon here for that. Because it's the same word. So if it's four corners, four quarters, it's the same word if you track it out. So it's corner, quarters, external angle, a corner, an internal corner. So what we call this an outside corner. We call that an inside corner when we're trimming. So if I was cutting this baseboard right here and I was writing my measurements down, and I got to that, I'd put that one straight. I'd put a straight mark, my measurement, and an O. That would be outside. I'd put that would be is going to meet another piece. I'd put I for in. That's going to be an inside corner. And so that's what he's saying here. It's either one. It's all of them. Same thing. But the last one here is a secret place. It can be corner. It could be quarters. It can be a secret place. That's right. I like that. That's what was so intriguing when he preached the rapture. And he went back to Psalms to get his scripture. Who could find who could go to Psalms to get a scripture to preach the rapture? But that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a secret place. He's talking about, and then says it in like three or four different ways. He says the same thing. Praise God. Jesus said unto them, now this is, so I just wanted to bring in that one. So Revelation chapter 20, he doesn't call it corners, he calls it quarters. And Jesus said unto them, did you ever read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. The stone that they rejected has become the head of the corner. And this is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now, is that judgment? That sounds like judgment, doesn't it? So he's talking here, and I'm pretty sure if I would have added another scripture in there, he would have come to the fig tree. But this is mentioned two or three times in the New Testament, and also the fig tree is close by. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here whole before you. That's right. I was reading today, and Brother Branham was talking about the difference in that day and this day. You know, just one simple, there's hundreds of things you could talk about, and he did, and he brought out many, many points. But he was talking in one place They believed for healing, but they couldn't believe for salvation. And he said, now they can believe for salvation, but they can't believe for healing. You read that? You read that? Isn't that amazing? Verse 11. And this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And then, I'm sorry. That was it. And in Mark 13. And this, I think, is a repeat of Matthew. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels. What are they? Messengers. And shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Now he ties all of these things together as he's coming from the opening of the seals to the winding of this thing. He ties it all together. And once again, this is now the Greek lexicon for the word wind. And how I got some of these scriptures was when you're searching out a word, if it's in the Bible, you can click on the word and it'll take you to the definition of the word. And then there's a place at the top that tells you every place in the Bible that that word is used. That's pretty good. I don't know if it's on, is it on the iPad too? It's on the computer. It's a really nice feature. But if you when you go to the definition, when you go to the lexicon and you're pulling the meaning of the word, it has a place at the top there that will show you every single verse in the Bible that uses that same word. And so, but the for that meaning, and sometimes the word might be different, but it's for this meaning. You might use a different word, but it's going to be meaning. So for wind, okay. And now the scriptures that we're reading tonight, wind is used in different ways. I want you to get it right here. Wind, a violent agitation and stream of air, a very strong tempestuous wind, the four principal or cardinal winds, henceforth the four corners of heaven. Now, when I was looking this up, if you're thinking of the weatherman, or even Bible, it speaks of the four winds and it talks about the east wind, the west wind, north wind, south wind, talks about those winds. So here, he's bringing it back. And so, once again, I'm telling you, I'm not interpreting anything. I'm just throwing out there just some something for you to look at. All right. This is in the message, questions and answers. This is way back. There's some, I pulled some more after the seals, but I didn't put them in here. And now, see, on four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. In other words, here went the winds blowing in the wars and strife to come all over the world. These winds of war and strife all over the world. When did that ever happen? Never until the First World War. Holding the wind, see? And they were striving, going in to take over. That's during those wars. And that's also these things, the war wars, the First and the Second World War, these were a very big part of when Brother Branham was bringing the seven things from the vision that he had. Those seven things, a lot of it was around. He talked about the magnet. I'm not saying it right, but it's rich. Maginot line. And he talked about the Siegfried line. Now, several times when you're reading, if you search that, you're going to many times he'll call that Maginot Line was built by the Germans. It wasn't. You just stay with him and he gets it. But a lot of times when he was referring back to us, what it was is the Germans built a line, and then the French built the Maginot Line, and it was elaborate. It was very elaborate what the Germans did. Some of it was several stories deep into the ground. They had levels for ammunition. They had levels for sleeping. They had levels for restaurants. They had level. I mean, it was just cities. It was a city underground, and then they had their war. You come all the way up, and they had where they could shoot, and their ammunition, and you know they had elevators in this thing, and it could hold tens of thousands of troops, tens of thousands of men could be into this thing, and so the French built them this great line also underground and just concrete. And so, but it became a joke later because it was perfect in what it covered. But then they just drove around it. It was billions of dollars of protection and they just drove around it. And that was it. They were just taken over. And so it became a joke. To this day, there it's a joke. Because it was the biggest waste of money on their terms because it didn't do the job. So, see, but he's talking about these wars and these wins. And he's saying, now this never, it never until the First World War, see, holding the win, see, they were striving, going to take over. And now here come another one, see. And if you'll watch and refer that angel, see, he's the same angel that came out of Ezekiel 9. And when the men come from hinder their gates with slaughtering weapons, see, and was going through Jerusalem to slaughter the Jews, you remember, see, he said, hold it, see, stop it, till you go through the city and put a mark on every forehead that sighs and cries for the abominations done in the city. Is that right? And who was that group? That was the elect. And so they were being marked. They were being marked. And so he's telling them, hold it now. Hold it till we get them all marked. What did Brother Branham say about taking the book? Hold it. It had to hold until every name was made manifest. Amen. To every seed had come on the earth. To everyone that was predestinated in the book had to come forth. See, hold it there, put a mark on every forehead that sighs, dropping down. Then after he did that, then he let them go in and slaughter, see? And that was the persecution under Titus. And now you see the same angel come forth again, see? Coming from the east, from where Jesus shall come, and he has the seal of the living God. Praise be to God. And that... know how many of you get the or on the group there, but that sister, brother, Sister Mary in Thika, she just is amazing. She's amazing. She just put out another song, and this one's on the Mark of the Beast. And so it's like she put out a song here a few weeks ago, and now it's just like constant. She just boom, 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 because one after another after another. And so she's got more plans she's working on. And so really good. I've just been really, that's the present day. That's for the present day. See, what is the seal of the living God? Oh, if that ain't a big dispute in the world today. It is a big dispute. And you talk to people with nominal ideas, and they still got that idea. There's going to be some kind of mark on their hand or on their forehead. So, no. You, as soon as you reject the word, as soon as you reject this message, you have accepted the mark of the beast. That's right. Nobody needs to see no number on you. You done sealed it with God. That's the one. See? Now, what is the seal of the living God? See, if that ain't a big dispute in the world today, some say it's keeping the Sabbath day. Some says it's doing this and that. But the Bible said The Holy Spirit is the seal of God. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption." See? All right, it's the Holy Spirit. And then what come? Now look, when I think of this, my heart jumps. See? He said, "Hold the four winds until," in other words, "we seal the servants of our God in their forehead." The servants, the Jews, see? John turned, Brother Brown, you know, he somewhere in here, I think he, I'm not reading it, but he refreshes us and he said, remember, we're not servants. We are sons and daughters of God. The Jews are servants. See? John turned and said, "I seen 144,000 sealed away. Now the winds all started in, and they would have covered the earth, and the Battle of Armageddon would have took place in the First World War." See? And so he's saying that it wasn't ready. He's saying it wasn't time, and that it was the winds was holding back this manifestation. And so at that time, he didn't know what he knew in the opening of the seals. But at the same time, he knew what these things meant. So that was the horse riders went forth after the sixth chapter. And now they went forth, a pale horse, a black horse, a red horse, so forth. And then riders had been riding the land for a long time. And I saw four angels stand. This is in the seal of God. I think that one was, where was it? Questions and answers, yeah. Okay, so jumping here. I didn't, like I said, I just was throwing them in there, trying to get them sent out before you called me. And it was right at the last minute. There's nothing worse than coming to the pulpit and feeling not ready. It's just painful. So, but here we are. Dropping down. I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds, that they should not blow upon the earth, see, nor on the sea, or on any tree. See, these angels holding back the judgment, see. Now watch, the vision he saw first. I saw four angels standing at the four corners, four places around the earth, an angel holding the four winds. Angels are messengers, the Bible said, and the winds are wars and strifes. He was holding the wind, see? And I saw another angel descending from the east, see? See, having the seal, the finished work. In other words, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice, see? To the angels who was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, neither the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead." And I heard the number of them, once again, was 144,000. Okay, so I got it. Now I'm going to read to you a scripture here. And this is Matthew 24. And this is what Brother Branham was referring to, going back to our thoughts now in the fourth seal. And he is referring to some of these scriptures. And it also speaks on the same line of thought. So let's read it, and we'll close with this. "Behold, I've told you before." See? "Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go not forth. 'Behold, he's in the secret chambers,' believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." See? "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." See? "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn." And we know what that is. We know that's their recognizing. See? "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet." Huh? "And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And now learn the parable. See, and every time, Matthew, Mark, again in Matthew, he's always injecting, because it's all at the same time. It's all happening at the same time. Learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it's near, even at the doors. And verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And I referred to this recently. Brother Gumba had brought these things out. These are one of the identifying factors. These are one of the things where he's identifying the timeline. And there's several things. There's several things that you can look to and know. And that's what's helped us to know where we are now. It's because of scriptures like this. And because the statements that the prophets have made, the prophet has made concerning the same thing. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. The generation that sees Israel become a nation. That's what it's saying. She's the fig tree. Once you know the symbols in the Bible, then you know that that's what it's talking about. And that's what the prophet said it was. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. No man knows. That's what he said about the coming. That's what he said about the seventh seal. That's what he said about earth. No man knows when. But, as it was in the days of Noah were, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day. Huh? Until the day he come. Until the day the rain come. Huh? And they were doing the same thing today. They were doing the same thing today until he come. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Brother Branham said, God proves his word by bringing it to pass. That's how he vindicates it, is by manifesting it. That's the proving. And so nobody knows the day. Nobody was to know the day until the day that it happened. That's when you knew. That's when you knew that he came in this hour. Is when he came to you. When he came to you, then that was the vindication. That was the manifestation. That's when you knew that the day and the hour that you lived in. That's the day you knew that Christ, that mighty angel, had come down. The day that he revealed himself to you. He's not revealing himself to anybody else. He's not revealing himself to the world. It's only to the bride, only to the elect. And nobody knew it in advance. Nobody knew it. And even when it happened, the prophet was so careful to talk about it. He said he didn't want to let anything out. He said, this will be a total secret. The public will not know. The public won't know. This will only be for the elect. Amen. That's right. And what did he do? He began just like that pale horse rider is gathering his together. Christ come on that pure white horse to gather his together. Right. And he was speaking the word. He had a rod on his thigh. The word of God. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. He's still the Word in this day.
Yes, sir.
Manifesting the promise of the hour. Amen. Praise be to God. We thank Him. We praise Him.
Amen.
For this great manifestation in this hour. Amen. We'll ask you to stand with us. We give Him the praise and the glory. and the honor. Amen. And I'm going to ask Brother Michael to come and dismiss us. And you're just going to hold this. I'm too tangled up right now.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that. And it's like he said, you know he's here because he's living inside of us. You even recognize in and of yourself that you do things, you think differently, you talk differently, and you find not y'all, but you know I go to work and we all go to work. We deal with people at work and they say, oh, let's go do this, let's go do that, and they say, oh, it's going to be a, and you're like, no, I don't, that doesn't interest me whatsoever at all. I don't. It's just, it's a different life. Now, let me say this. It's the only life. Everything else is death. They think they're living, but they're not. And so you feel bad, you know, sometimes, and you get, I guess your righteous indignation rises. You just want to shake them and just, you don't want to be mean, but just slap them. Like, just wake up. You're right here. You're so close. And then it, sometimes it points me to how many times I failed to recognize his presence. How many times did I fail him? You know, I want to judge or want to do something with somebody else. And then eventually it comes back to me. He's like, well, I was right there. Did you give me the time that you were supposed to give me? And so, you know, that's him working on you. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate you speaking to us this evening, Lord, as we've come together, Lord. We know that in this day, as the brother said, it was the world. It's not for the world. It's just it's a secret coming, Lord. It's a secret relationship. It's not a secret to the bride. It's not a secret to your children, Lord. But the world can't understand it, Lord. The world has no idea about it, Lord. And your grace and your mercy, you've come, Lord, and you've revealed the mysteries. You've revealed who we are, Lord, and that's the greatest thing, Lord, that we know who we are and we know who you are and we know that we're one and we know that there was a union that took place, Lord. And if we can just recognize that and everything else is, as they say, is icing on the cake, Lord. Lord, if the brother mentioned tonight that new birth, that's the number one thing. Once you have that, it's settled. And Lord, it's just you manifesting yourself, Lord. We appreciate that great revelation in this day, Lord. So we go from this place. We ask that you be with each one. You know the needs of your people, Lord, and you've never failed them. You've never forsaken them, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.